Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I wonder, what's that day going to be for you? Is it going to be that glorious day that we've sung about in this hymn? I'm telling you tonight, if you do not belong to the Lord Jesus,
you don't want to hear about the day that's coming. I want to tell you that tonight. We want to warn you tonight of the end that is in view for you, or the blessing that could be in store for you. You see, there's a decision to be made tonight. Do you know something? You might say to someone, I've deferred my decision. I've put it off a little bit later. I'm going to make it. Let me tell you very clearly. You've deferred nothing. You have rejected the Savior. It's as simple as I can make that. You have rejected Him. You have said, no Christ for me. Sunday night. That's the word that came out. Last night, we heard again of the sufferings of Christ, of what He has borne that you might have life. You did not defer a decision. You said again, no Christ for me. Oh, my dear friend, I don't know how old you are. A young person, an old person, maybe a little boy or a little girl, and you've heard in your classroom about this lovely man, Jesus Christ. And you've heard that He wants to come and live in your heart. Tonight is a night to invite Him in. Tonight is the night to say, Lord Jesus, I want to open my heart to You. I want You to be my Savior. So what we want to try to do tonight, you know, to solve a problem, you have to identify a problem. For people to be saved, they have to first realize what most of us in this room came to know, that we in fact were lost, and we were headed for a Christless, godless eternity. Can I tell you tonight, in the words that we used to hear from dear Dr. Benham in Beckley, as he would bring people into his office and talk with them about the cancer that was eating their body up. And he always said, it's an awful thing to say to someone, your condition is terminal. I can't do anything for you. There is no medicine for you. There is no help for you. Can I tell you tonight that outside of Christ, that's your condition. It's terminal. It is death. It is eternal death. Damnation. Taken away from the presence of the Savior that we've sung of tonight. The one that we've talked in these songs about that has spoken to you. He's knocked. He said, listen, I want to come into your life. I want to give you what you haven't found in this world. I want to give you peace. I want to give you purpose. I want you to know that your sins are forgiven. But I'm going to say to you tonight how critical. We've talked several times this week about the brevity of life. Go to now. You that say, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go into such and such a city, and I'm going to be there a while, and I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell, and I'm going to get gain. And he reminds them, you don't know what will be on the morrow. Now, many of you in this room don't know what's been going on down in the area where my wife and I and my family come from. But A week ago, Tuesday night, coming home from the Bible study, we began to see the lightning and the thunder that was to the west of our little town. And it was like nothing that I've seen in recent years. And when we finally got to the house that night, I said to my wife, I said, do you know somebody down in Richland, somebody down in War, or down in Kentucky, they're getting hammered with the rain. We woke up the next day to find that they had had 10.5 inches of rain. And we began to read the headlines of the mothers and the fathers that went to bed that night and they tucked their children in. And the heart-wrenching picture that has been on the news of the mother and the dad that lost 4 children. That the floods came into those homes. And the children were wrenched out of their hands. 37 people have died. Hundreds of people in East Kentucky are missing. Hundreds of homes have been destroyed. And you're living life as though you have it in control? You know not. I'll give you another example. Since we've come here, 6 doctors in Canada took the 4th shot. They've all died. Do you hear that? All 6 of them. They're all gone. Overnight. Oh, the brevity of life. How important is this decision for you tonight? I love to speak in a gospel meeting of the hour of decision. That's what tonight is for you. Tonight is a night for you. But again, you're going to have to make a choice. We want tonight to establish, by God's grace, the need that you have to make a change. If I cannot point that out to you tonight, then there's not going to be any reason for you to change. But we're going to find out what God says in His Word about each of us as children of Adam. We're going to go next to a portion that our brother John mentioned last night, but we're going to look at it in a little more detail. And then, dear unsaved one, we're going to go to the cross. That's where you have to come to. You have to, just like Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, you have to come to the cross and you have to submit and bow to the Blessed One that has borne the judgment of a holy God against sins. I'll tell you tonight, the first things we're going to look at won't make you comfortable. If you're comfortable, I've failed in the message God has given me. If the verses we read about make you feel like everything is okay, and that's the greatest lie that Satan has ever put on people, everything will be okay. I wonder how many people in Kentucky were saying that. Everything will be okay. We don't have to worry about it. We have authorities here. We have people that can help us. The shock of my life was riding to Charlotte to be with my grandchildren and seeing ambulances coming was something I've never seen in my life. They were pulling trailers with inflatable boats on the back of them. We just saw a video of a helicopter rescuing 5 people from off of their roof. And the water was up into the vents. Thou knowest not what a day nor an hour may bring forth. Critical that you know the Savior, that you know tonight that He is yours, that He loves you, So we're going to look at a verse. We're going to look at a couple of verses. As again, I would say to you, they're not verses that are pleasant. First one's going to come, and you know, I believe you already know, this is not a new verse for you. This comes from Jeremiah chapter 17, and it's verse number 9. This is not just true of what you might call bad people. You might look at people that are perhaps in the gutter, people that are drunkards, people that are on drugs, people that are immoral. You might say that this is what is true of them. But you know, the believer in the Lord Jesus knows when we read this verse that this is what was true of us. The heart is deceitful. What does that mean? I have a heart that can't be trusted. It can't be trusted. It's deceitful. And listen to what the Spirit of God wants to say to you. It's deceitful above. Above all things. That's number one. Number two. Mind you, this is not me saying it. This is not Richard, John as he spoke, or Tim. This is what our God says about the human heart. He says it is desperately wicked. Ooh. You mean that's me? I mean, that's every one of us in this room outside of Christ. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? Have you accepted that position? Have you bowed to the one that says, this is why I went to Calvary? I knew that about you. I knew that about you. And I went to Calvary that you might have the opportunity to come to know me. I want to save you. This condition is terminal. Do you realize what I'm saying? Mom and Dad can't fix this. The brothers in the meeting, the sisters in the meeting, they can't fix this. You're not going to go to be with the Lord on somebody else's coattail. It's going to depend entirely on the decision that you have personally made. That's what Richard said in the opening. This is intensely personal as to what we're speaking about tonight. Well, there's another one. Maybe you'll like this one. Drop back in your Bible to Isaiah 1. It might not be quite as familiar with some of you, but let's just listen. As we begin at the middle of verse 5, the middle of verse 5, it doesn't just say the head is sick. There's another word there. There's an adjective. It tells me what part of the head. The whole head. The whole head is sick. The heart faint from the sole of the foot. Even unto the head, there is no soundness. Do you know why this happened? Do you know how this came about? This is a result of the fall. This is the result of the Garden of Eden and the fall that took place there thousands of years ago. This is the condition of mankind, Jew, Gentile. It doesn't make any difference. He says here, there is no soundness in it, but wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. Wow. That's not a very nice description. But it's his description. Maybe we need one more. Let's go to the book of Romans. Book of Romans in the New Testament. We're going to start with verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous. Did you think you were an exception? The Spirit of God says, I wrote this for you then. No, not one. None righteous amongst mankind. None righteous. Oh, but Chuck, you don't understand. My situation is different. And God says, my dear child, it's not Chuck that doesn't understand. It was not John that didn't understand, or Tim. It's you that don't understand. None that understandeth. None that seeketh after God. That's your condition. This is why our Lord Jesus came into this world, that he might go to Calvary. Because he knew this condition was true of you, and you couldn't fix it, you couldn't alter it, you couldn't do anything about it. If he gave a law for you to keep, you couldn't keep it. It would only condemn you. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none. What? There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Are we establishing the need for someone else to come in on your behalf? Someone else that says, I understand the need of this poor individual. I see that he or she, they can't lift themselves up by their bootstraps. They can't do anything for themselves. I want to establish this with you. Where are you? I'm going to stand here for just a minute. And I'm going to ask you, don't be honest with me. I don't mean anything. Where are you? Richard has asked you. Where are you in your relationship this day with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you looking for him to come? Do you see him as your Redeemer? Where are you? Be honest with the one that has spoken with you. Tim couldn't speak with you the other night. He can speak the word. John couldn't speak to you the other night. He can speak the word. Who was it that spoke? It's none other than the Spirit of God that brings the Word of God home to the heart of mankind. And Jesus Christ has been saving down through the ages. And he has his sights set on you tonight. He wants to come into your life. He wants again to give you purpose, peace, joy, where you have found nothing. Do you know how some of us know this? We lived in this world as unsaved men and women. And we found, many of us in this room found, that Satan is a hard taskmaster, that he demands everything, and he gives nothing in return. That's the enemy of your soul. That's the one that the Lord Jesus went into death that he might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know what he speaks of the Israelites as they were in Egypt? They were in an iron furnace. They were in slavery. So are you. Try to break the bands. Turn over a new leaf. See how that works for you. Try. Say, there's going to be a real change in my life and I'm going to do things differently. And I guarantee you, you will find you can't change anything. But let me just stop and say something else. What if you could change your life? What about what you've done? What about the sins that you've committed? What about them? What can you do about them? May I tell you? Nothing. But I'm not only going to tell you nothing, but we're going to look in a lot more detail than we did last night of a future day for you. Did you hear what I said? It's a future day. Where we're going to look, leave this world without Christ. You're going to be there. You're going to be there in your sins. Revelation 20. Let's look. Let's just spend a few minutes here. John mentioned this last night. Revelation 20 and verse 11. I saw a great white throne. Not now a great shepherd of the sheep. Not now so great a salvation. No, that is gone for you. You rejected it. You said, no Christ for me. I don't have time for that. A great white throne. Do you know who sits upon this throne? The very one who is calling for you tonight. The one that went to Calvary. The one that said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. The one who suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. He is now on this judgment throne. This is not a throne of grace. The day of grace is over. And he sits here, and look at what it says. And this is why it's so important to read these verses. The heavens and the earth, they're gone. They fled away. There's no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, your English translation says. I saw these people. Where did they come from? They had been raised. They had been raised at the resurrection of the unjust. There's no believers here. There's nobody here. There are great men. They may have been kings. They may have been like the men in Luke. They may have been wealthy. They may have had everything at their disposal. I read just a couple of days ago of several of the richest men that have lived in the last 20, 30 years, not going way back. Men that one of them lived in our area. His name was Jack Whitaker. You can look him up on the internet. He won the lottery. And it destroyed the life of that man. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. It goes on and spoke in that article of other people and the great destruction to them who looked to find peace and satisfaction here. Thou alone, Lord Jesus, canst true peace impart. Thou dost know the sorrow of the human heart. And it goes on to speak in that hymn that it's only Christ that can give peace and satisfaction to you. Here is a future event for you. You're here. The one that is the Savior tonight has said, I'm going to be the one that's on that throne tomorrow. I'm going to be there. The books were opened. Oh, the God that we belong to. He is an accurate record keeper. He doesn't need one of the drives on the computer. He's not interested in any of that. He knows everything. He knows all about you. He created you. He created you to have purpose in life. And you chose death. The books were opened. And it says another book was opened, which is the book of life. And are you thinking right now that I'll be saying, well, wait a minute. I was at Eastern Bible Conference. My mother and dad are Christians. No, that doesn't matter. Where are you? Let's look in the book of life. And he opens the book of life. And guess what? You already know this. Your name is not there. Your name is not there. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Oh my. According to their works. You mean to tell me that he has a record of all I've done, of all I've said, of everything that has gone through my life since I was born into this world? You will be judged according to your works. So you see, it becomes a great big decision. I know my works were wrong. I know that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're in time now. Do you want to change that? Oh, the Lord Jesus said, that's why I'm speaking to you tonight. I want you to leave that broad road that leadeth unto destruction. I'll tell you something about that road. There's lots of company on that road. There's lots of people that are on that road. They're seeking the very things that you sought. They're seeking peace. They're seeking satisfaction. They're seeking purpose in their life. They're seeking direction. And the one thing they all have in common is they don't find it. They don't find it on that road, but that road is the broad road that leads unto destruction. You know the wonderful thing? God allows U-turns. He allows you. He makes the provision for you to see the bridge is out. I need to go the other way. I need to turn around. To put it in the language of Scripture, I need to be saved. I need to have one who will take up or has taken up my cause as a girl, a boy, a man, a woman that lived here without purpose and rejected Him. Tonight is your night. Can I tell you that? What a wonderful thing. Tonight's the opportunity for change. Tonight's the opportunity for that U-turn. Tonight's the opportunity for a life to be turned around. Wow. Well, let's read a little more. Maybe you're not convinced yet. Death and Hades. You know what death is. What's Hades? Do you know what Hades is? Hades is the state of the unseen where these people were waiting for the judgment day. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Will you be here? What conclusion did you come to a moment ago? I said, where do you stand? Were you honest with God? Did you sing these songs tonight knowing that you can't mean one word of them? I lost my place there. Just bear with me. This is the second death. Oh, we have a big word here. Oh, it's used in two ways. Whosoever. I love to say that you are a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? You can put your name there. It's what I did years ago. It's what people all around you that have done. They have said, I am a whosoever. I can put my name there. But oh, that's not what it means here. Read it carefully. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. Whosoever. Is this you? Is this the future event for you in a day to come? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Destiny. Terminal. Never to be released. Always to be banished from the presence of the one who went to Calvary. Now I have to believe that's not what you want. So I want to take you to another portion of the Word of God that we looked at last night, but we're going to go back to the Old Testament to see a bit more. We're going to go back to the cry of the Lord Jesus in Psalm 22. And I want to spend just a few minutes with you there. Psalm 22. Maybe you had those verses that Brother John quoted last night. Maybe you knew them. Maybe you only knew part of them. Psalm 22. Can I tell you? This is the cross. This is where our Lord Jesus went. There are sufferings here. that will display the awfulness of our heart. And there are verses here that would tell us the wonder of the man of Calvary. My God, let me tell you something. Look in your Bible. Find any other place where the Lord Jesus addressed the Father as just God. These are the only places. Every other place, it was as the Father. It was in some different way. But here, we find that this one has been abandoned. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Listen, why are you so far from helping me? I cry unto you in the daytime, and thou hearest not. And in the night season, I'm not silent. And then the psalmist can say, by the way, do you know when this was written? Approximately 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus died. These verses were penned by David. 1,000 years before the Son of God came into this world. Prophetically, we hear these verses. But thou art holy. What was he? He was bearing my sin. He was holy, but he was bearing our sins on that cross. Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, and they were delivered. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But the Son of God says, but I am a worm. I am a worm and no man. I am a reproach of men. I am despised of the people. Want to hear of the human heart? All they that see me laugh me to scorn. Come down from the cross and we will believe you. Just a short time before, they clothed him with a purple robe. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. They smote him with a reed. Now listen to this. They spat upon him. They spit upon the eternal Son of God. What could he have done? Oh my goodness, he says, I could have called 12 legions of angels. But how would you ever be blessed? How would the word be fulfilled, he says, elsewise? He says here, they laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, ah, this one trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. It's a wonderful hymn that you might know it, even though you're unsaved. You may hear us singing this hymn, himself he could not save. He on the cross must die. That was the wonderful truth of Calvary. If there's going to be a company with him, it was required that one would go into death. This is where I find him. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Down in verse 11, be not far from me. The Lord cries out, for trouble is near. Do you hear this? There is none to help. Trouble is near. There's no one to help me. in this day. The sufferings inflicted upon this one by the human race have never saved anyone. They only prove our guilt. They prove that our situation as men and women of Adam's race is absolutely helpless. No hope. But let me tell you that man's sin and God's love met at Calvary. They kissed each other there. That's what happened at Calvary. I'm going to go on down in these verses. He says in verse 14, you just imagine this. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth unto my jaws. And thou hast brought me unto the dust of death. My Savior was going through this that he might save me. But he's going through this that he might save you, that he might give life unto you, that he might put your sins as far away as the east is from the west, and that he would declare that, you know what? I will remember them no more. It doesn't say I'll forget them. He says, as an act of my divine will, I will never remember them again. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Is he your Savior? Do you want him to be? Do you want him to be your Savior? We read here, dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands. Think of that. Think of that dark time at Calvary when they took that blessed man and they drove spikes into his hands and into his feet, and they lifted him up upon that cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. That's what he was guilty of. He said he was King of the Jews. Pilate comes and he says, don't write that up there. You've got to write something different, that he said he was King of the Jews. Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. They part my garments among them. They cast lots. They gamble for my robes. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, all my strength. Haste thee to help me. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Wonderful verse in 21. Save me. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. Blessed victory the Lord Jesus won. It is finished. That was his cry. The hours of darkness over. The Son of God gone into death that you might have life. Wonderful, wonderful truth. 3 days the world saw the greatest display of power that has ever been. Greater than the creation of the universe. Our Lord Jesus. arose from among the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Are you in the good? Or do you want to be? That's what I ask you. As I come to the end of this meeting tonight, it's five after, I would love to talk more upon it. I would love just to speak more of the wonder of Calvary, of the wonder of the grace of God that gave His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's that word again, you're a whosoever, whosoever believeth in Him should be saved. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now it's your turn. My time is up. I can't save you. John couldn't save you. Tim, he couldn't save you. No one can do that work other than our Lord Jesus. But I want to tell you tonight, He is able. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. That mention was made of this wondrous John 4. I didn't hear the reading, but of that wonderful time when that woman goes into that city. And she says, I have wonderful news for you. I want to introduce you to somebody. He told me all things that ever I did. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. The one that would say to that woman in John 8 that was caught in sin, are you going to throw the first stone at her? Where are those thine accusers? Is no man here? No man. Neither do I condemn thee. Grace. The human heart hates grace. The sinner loves grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That was the transformation of those of Ephesus, those that served the idols of the great goddess Diana, those that were there in that city where, in fact, it was a wonder of the world, the seventh or the eighth wonder of the world. People came to see it, to get these little shrines, silver shrines, to take into their homes. And God sent this message through the Apostle Paul to that city of Ephesus. And we've been studying of the wonder of the saving grace of those of that city of idolatry. Come to Him. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to sing a song. And I can't make it not noisy. It's noisy because these are metal chairs. It's noisy because people are going to walk upon them. Don't you worry about the noise. Do as I did at Grove City many years ago. Don't do as I did. I left the auditorium and I walked halfway across the campus. And then I knew, Chuck, you've got to go back. You have to talk to somebody that will help you and to come to know Christ as your Savior. There's many of us here. We ask you just to be as quiet for believers, to pray, to seek God's help for those that He has spoken to tonight, that they might come to know Him. Let's sing all this hymn, Eternity. It's one of my favorite hymns in a gospel meeting. Time soon will end. Its fleeting moments pass away. O sinner, say, Where will you spend eternity's unchanging day? Shall you the hopeless horror see of hell for all eternity? We will sing the whole hymn.